My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Next year's World Cup is to be hosted by three countries who in recent times have had a less than convivial relationship: the United States, Canada and Mexico. So that should be interesting. David Wilson from Off the Ball is here to reassure us that nothing can possibly go wrong. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Has it been organised in advance? How many games are in each country? Are they divided up equally between the three?
So really, this is really a US World Cup, with Canada and Mexico kind of chipping in with a couple of games. So 78 of the 104 games will take place in the United States, across 11 different cities. And then 13 games each go to Canada and Mexico, three cities in Mexico and two cities in Canada. So it's really the US World Cup with, you know, two countries just helping out. But this World Cup is negotiated actually in Donald Trump's first term as US president.
Did he have any role in negotiating it during that term as president? Or,
well, he'll tell you that he had a role in negotiating it. But I suppose the big thing is that he has developed a relationship with the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino. And Gianni Infantino kind of looks up to Donald Trump as kind of this all-consuming, basic kind of dictator, I guess. And they've developed a very close relationship. It's so close that Gianni Infantino was actually at the inauguration. And shortly after Trump was elected, Infantino had an Instagram post basically kind of cosplaying as Trump with a little red tie and congratulating his good friend Trump on being re-elected. And I think he was very, very happy that he was re-elected in time for next year's World Cup.
Now, at the same time, even though most of particularly because most of the games in the United States, people are going to be crossing a load of borders, which is exactly the sort of thing he hates. How have they given any indication how they're going to handle that? Because I think, as I understand, it's about 2 million people will be arriving to look at these games.
Yes, exactly. So that is a problem, and they did have a White House press briefing yesterday, and J.D. Vance was there and Christy Noem was there. And basically, J.D. Vance spoke up and said, look, all these people are welcome to come, but don't overstay your visa. And when the tournament is over, that you have to go home. So there's a massive backlog of people waiting for visas, especially from countries that are very likely to qualify for the World Cup. So, for example, Colombia are more than likely going to qualify for the World Cup, have a huge, huge football following, have a massive diaspora in the United States, but they have an 800-day waiting time for a visa.
Whoa.
Well, if you apply for a visa and you're Colombian and you want to go to the World Cup next year, well, you're not going to get it because it's not going to be processed in time. So they are trying to come up with a way with kind of streamlining the process. The United States actually said that the median wait times are 30 days. That's wrong. It's not. It's well, well above that. So Colombia, Mexico is another country with a huge waiting list. A lot of countries in Latin America, Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, has a 5.5 months waiting list for a visa to enter the United States. So they are trying to maybe bring it to come up with a visa that you'll be able to travel into the United States, into Canada, into Mexico on one visa, and you'll be able to cross the borders because, you know, you could be, your country could be playing their games at the beginning of the tournament in the United States, in Canada or Mexico, and then all the games from the quarterfinal onwards will be in the United States.
Mm. What about countries where no one's allowed in, such as Iran?
Yeah, so Iran have actually qualified already. Mm. And there are talks between FIFA, between the US, and between Iran as well about kind of thawing those relations. Really, what will happen is that the only Iranian fans that will probably attend the tournament as it stands at the moment are people of Iranian heritage that are living currently in the US, which are quite a lot of already. But as that stands, there's no movement on whether Iranian fans from Iran can enter the stadium or can enter the United States.
Yeah, but Iranian players will be allowed to enter the United States. Is that a given?
Yes, so that is a given, and there will be special. There are special visas already being set up for players, managers, coaching staff, and like kind of team administration people as well. So that looks to have all been cleared up, and FIFA and the US kind of task force have already basically kind of allowed for that to happen for those people to enter the country next year.
Yeah. Does Palestine have a shot?
Palestine are actually have an outside shot of getting in. So I suppose in the 2022 World Cup, Qatar, it was in Qatar in the first World Cup in the Arab world. And there was a lot of pro-Palestinian protest even at that stage. So Morocco got to the semi-final and they actually celebrated their quarter-final victory with Palestinian flags. And there was a lot of pro-Palestinian chanting heard in the terraces. But yeah, Palestine do have a chance. It's very unlikely that they will qualify, but there will be pro-Palestinian protests at the World Cup. And Trump was asked about this yesterday. He said people can protest as long as they do it in a reasonable manner.
And they're not in a university.
And not in a university or on a J1 visa.
Yeah. So there's a lot. It sounds like there's a lot of things that they haven't quite sorted out, really, that they're saying it'll all be fine. There's this task force. Is there one person at the head of this task force who's going to push everything through?
So there is a task force. So this is the first World Cup in the modern era that the whole planning of the World Cup is actually done in-house with FIFA. So it used to go to the federation that hosts the World Cup. So it is actually FIFA that are running the whole thing themselves in-house. Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew Giuliani, has been employed by Trump to kind of head the US kind of department on it. He is basically an advisor to Trump, but he's just basically a friend. Someone's son, basically. And he was also a kind of a failed pro golfer in his own right as well. He's 39 years old. He hasn't any experience and he wasn't even there at the White House briefing on Tuesday.
And the thing is, even though it's hugely increased in popularity in the US, I would imagine that at most of these games, the crowds of them won't be American.
No, so yes, like football or soccer in the US, as they call it, has massively increased, especially since like 94. But where it's mostly increased is in kind of the populations that have immigrated into the United States. So it's massive Mexican population, massive kind of population from Latin America. So they're the people who will really love this World Cup being on the United States. So what will probably happen is, and we kind of seen it with the CONCACAF games that happened in the US back in March, is that the US could play a home game in LA or in Chicago or wherever, but most, if they're playing Mexico, for example, majority of the crowd, 80-90% of the people will be supporting Mexico, and it would be like a home game. So it'd be very interesting to see how Trump and his associates kind of react to that, because the US will play games where they're expected to have a vociferous home support. Look, the American support doesn't really get behind their national teams anyway, not in the way that like European or Latin American teams do. So it'll be very interesting to see actually how that happens. And yeah, the US would play games against, you know, Colombia, Argentina, Brazil, you know, maybe even England, and they will be severely outnumbered.
Yeah, because as you understand, Mexico plays more games in the US now than it does in Mexico.
Yeah, so Mexico, they are in the process of rebuilding their famous stadium, the Estadio Azteca, in Mexico City. So they have played basically, they have no competitive games ahead of the World Cup. So they've played literally all their games in the US, and they're all friendlies, but it's worth way more money to them to play their games in the US. It's also like they have huge support, and even people travel from Mexico to the US to support their team, La Selección. So it's kind of a weird thing as well, where, you know, you've got the US kind of hosting this tournament, but really the country of Mexico, who only has 13 games, really would absolutely love to have the whole World Cup themselves.
Yeah. Sounds like they are going to have the whole thing themselves.
Pretty much. Yeah.
David, thanks a million for coming in to tell us about that. That was David Wilson there from Off the Ball.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.